Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I'll give you a fair warning. I do have a sore throat today, and I'll probably have a sore throat for the rest of the week, hopefully not going into next week. It's reminiscent of the few times that I've been on air where all of a sudden I had a coughing attack. But that shouldn't happen today. I don't have a cough. It's just a sore throat. So if you happen to hear a lozenge, please forgive me. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I am just literally trying to be able to do what I need to do today, because there is a lot of things that you need to hear, you need to understand, and that, of course, I'm going to have to say those things because nobody wants to talk about the elephant in the room. We just would rather walk all the way around it and waste a lot of time and money, effort, and so forth. So anyway, got a lot today to go through, and so let me get started with the fact that this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show on air, whether that be TV, radio, any type of format, you are listening to the only show on air that will provide you with the constitutional solution in getting the federal government into full compliance to the Constitution. This is it. This is the only show that talks about the solution. That solution is Republic Review. And if you have a cantankering, you want to call, you want to wish me a spooky day or evening, that's fine with me. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. I wanted to kind of follow up a little bit on what we talked about yesterday with John Burberry. But before I get too far ahead of myself, the crowdfunding campaign is launched. It's up there. It is on GoFundMe.com, and it is the Reclaiming the Republic campaign. So if you go there, you can look, take a look at it, give me your feedback. Hopefully it becomes a worthy cause for you to contribute. None of the money you are going to contribute will literally go at this point in time to anybody's salary. I am getting a promoter, but that's literally just to help pay for, you know, the money that we need to get. Because bottom line, I need people that are connected with people with pockets that can actually contribute some money. Because, and I appreciate the contributor that contributed the $10, but we really do need to get some good influx and or an insurgency of money coming into this campaign. Washington would not have been able to fight the revolution if he could not have gotten good people to join the cause and good people to support the cause. So I'm obviously falling short of being Washington just because I maybe not have that name brand recognition. Regardless, let me move forward with a little groveling. We do need your support. It isn't about money and getting the support going. So if you've got time, you've got a computer, you've got resources such as the phone as well, give me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will promise you, you will feel like you're contributing. You will be able to actually do some things that will literally help what we need done. And so one of the other mechanisms that you can actually contribute, besides listening to the show and telling your friends, hey, tune in, check this out, stream it or listen to it if you happen to live in the few areas that it's actually broadcasted, please also consider going to theconstitutionclub.ning.com and check out that website. If you're tired of Facebook filtering, if you're tired of not being able to have conversations or going to jail for promoting an article or an idea or what have you, this is the place where you don't go to jail. This is the place where you can actually have open dialogue regarding the Constitution and those types of, I'll call them conservative values, founding principles, whatever you want to call them, but you won't get in trouble. As I always do, I did look through the news today, and I did notice that There is no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. That means that you and I are going to have to do this. We will have to do this ourselves. And it's not that hard. It's not going to take a lot of money. It's not going to take a lot of time. We already got good people we know that are serving us. It is just a matter of sometimes motivating them. All they have to do is feel a little pressure, and I'm going to tell you, they will do what they need to do. Those few that won't, they can easily be replaced. We can get to critical mass rather quickly. And I don't believe that that's a miracle. I think that some people would think that's a miracle, but I don't think so. And so later today, as I had that interview with John Burberry regarding the backstory regarding Matthew Shepard, the one thing I wanted to get to was the superintendent, and you can tell the superintendent is an ideologue. You can tell that he happens to be a social justice warrior trying to promote maintaining their status quo in ramming down our throats their agenda and their narrative. And so I want to, you know, get to that a little bit later. I also wanted to talk just really quick, because I know I've been harping on Google, Amazon, Facebook, and the social medias, these big corporations that are literally doing everything they can to manipulate our lives. There is no doubt in my mind. It actually came out today. I think it was in a senator race. Blackburn, I think, for Tennessee. Anyway, it's coming out that they are doing things to help create a bad stigma and or suppressing information. They are absolutely trying to manipulate our elections. I mean, they're far more successful than Google. And as a matter of fact, Facebook is being called out by Canada and the UK for some of their fake news and manipulation and so forth. And so it's actually kind of like turning the tables now that we've become a little sensitized about Russian collusion, or maybe desensitized about that. We're really finding the culprit in the cooking. And so it's about time. And I'm going to say this because this actually needs to be looked at, because we're going to talk about the 14th Amendment just in a few seconds here. But it's about time we start reconsidering the freedom of the press. Did I just say that? Yeah. It is about time we start reconsidering the freedom of the press, because Congress fails to really define what the press is. Back in those days, the press was a very specific thing. Today, it's almost anybody. Before we move too far forward, I also wanted to, you know, poke myself into that Georgia election. And I wanted to let you know, when it comes to communism and promoting and standing behind communists, they really come out of the woodwork and doing what they can. And so Oprah Winfrey has inserted herself into the Stacey Abrams campaign in getting her elected as governor. And so I can't say enough, and I'm going to talk more about the subjugationists and the communists as well, because this whole show is really laced with the undertones and the wiring that these folks have. I've been telling you for a long time, these folks are hardwired. They do not think the way you do. They do not understand liberty and allowing you to choose for yourself. They don't get that. They want you to do what you need to do, or they'll make you do it. Remember, the end justifies the means as far as they're concerned. One other little quick note, kind of made me happy today to see Austria is joining the U.S. and Hungary in withdrawing from the U.N. Soros Migration Pact, enforcing us to take these Islamist war and combatants and so forth. And as a part of that, isn't just Islamists here in America, but it is the MS-13 and the rest of these criminals that they want to force down our throats. With that, I know I've got a lot of stuff to get through. I had a conversation with Alan Myers. He is a guru on finance, bookkeeping, and so forth. He's publishing a book. He's actually got a few modules out that he's put into a blog. We can get into some of that. I'm hoping to have him on as soon as that book is hitting the market. And in all honesty, it's not a big book. It's called, I think, Fed Ed. He'll talk about it. But I want to have an interview with him, and I'm hoping to talk to him to get the details, you know, just at the high level, to help you understand what this, because he's talking about banking fraud. Basically, if you kind of read through the lines, he's talking about institutional banking fraud here in the United States. And so when it comes on, I hope that he can kind of talk about the magnitude in dollars, you know, over the span of years that they've been getting away with this, how many billions, trillions of dollars does this amount to? And so, and these are trillions and trillions of dollars that are probably lost. I'm just guessing it's trillions. And so I also hope he can explain to, you know, different processes, methods, and, you know, his suggestions of how we might be able to actualize those dollars. I mean, sometimes the old adage, you can't get blood from a turnip, but I'm going to be having him on. So I will let you know as we get closer and closer, once we get the interview and ready to air it. But I'm hoping within a week or two, we will have him on. And if you want to know more about him, if you go to Freedom Force International, which is G. Edward Griffin's organization, he is a part of, I think, their faculty. I got to look it up, but I know he is a part of that organization. And I've actually spoke with him. Just a little backstory. In 2016, I met him at a Douglas Gibbs Constitution Association where he was one of the speakers that evening. And so we sat next to each other at the guest table, and we kind of conversed, exchanged cards, and kind of have continued talking since then. And since I found him on the G. Edward Griffin, it kind of really drove more of a connection, because I want to get going forward in some kind of educational stuff as well with him, with Red Pill University. And I've talked about that before, but let's get past this election so I can actually get some time to talk to Mr. Griffin. And so, with that, as you can tell, I'm at that hard break. And no, it's not coming forward, so you could probably hear the music as well. So we will be right back after word from our sponsor. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so I wanted to continue the conversation because we talked a bit about this yesterday. And it seems like Paul Ryan has jumped into the murky waters of the Constitution. Or at least they're murky due to his understanding. You cannot separate the "and subject to the jurisdiction thereof." You can't do it. You have to keep those are all, it's just a comma separating them. It is a part of the same thought. It is part of that same clause. They separated the clauses by semicolons. And so let me read this again, and I'll point out some of the punctuation regarding the 14th Amendment Section 1 in its entirety, because this is the one section that has been used as the progressive weapon against us for a long time. And so here we go. All persons born or naturalized. So in other words, if you're born here and your parents, because I didn't articulate this very well yesterday. I've been under the weather, so forgive me. Thus the sore throat. But anyway, if you are born here and your parents are natural citizens, in other words, they were born here and their parents were subject to the United States, and so that means your parents are subject to the United States, then we, being subject to the jurisdiction, when I say subject to the jurisdiction, I don't mean subject as a subject in a kingdom. I mean that we fall under the jurisdiction of the laws and protections of the U.S. Constitution. Okay? That's what that means, because there's these... there's these guys that are what I call the nationalists, or they're, what do you say? They harp on corporations, U.S. corporations, because it came out of this shortly after the 14th Amendment and the Reconstruction of the United States from the Civil War. They started forming corporations, and they started using unconstitutional justifications in doing this. But anyway, let me get back to this. And so all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, comma, are citizens. So there was a comma between the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, comma, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So just to be clear, we are subjects under the jurisdiction of multiple layers of government within this constitutional republic, which means that we're subject to the state. We're also subject to the county. We may be even subject to the municipality, but they didn't go into those details, because in this particular case, the states are the primary sovereigns of jurisdiction underneath the general government's jurisdiction. So anyway, period. So that ends at that point. They basically identify who are the citizens. Citizens that are born to citizens who are subject to the United States, not subject to another nation. So in other words, everybody that's been coming here, that's been created as anchor babies because they were born here, but their mother was actually a citizen of another nation and was not legally subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, then the baby is not a U.S. citizen. This is a huge eye-opener for some people. We've been, constitutionalists have been screaming about this. We've been complaining about this. But this isn't really the fire that's burning our butt. It's been one of the many fires that has been, what do you want to say, in closing upon us, because we're getting pressures from every direction, from the education system, from, you know, the government inviting itself into defining life, into defining marriage, and so forth and so on. So let me go on the first section here. So that's the first clause, the citizenship clause. The next clause is the application of the Bill of Rights and the application of due process upon the states, because not all states after the Civil War had their own Bill of Rights, nor did they have any guarantee of basic rights. So what they did in this next clause was they ensured that, one, every citizen was protected on the individual privileges and immunities guaranteed by the Constitution. And two, they applied the guarantee of due process, that you could not lose your life, liberty, or property without having due process. In other words, going through formal charges. It's, you know, this is the whole point of due process that we've been kind of complaining about with the Kavanaugh, the We Too movement, because people come forward with allegations and they violate the rule of law because instantly you're basically assumed guilty instead of assumed innocent until being convicted by a jury of your peers. So anyway, the next sentence goes, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of the citizens of the United States, semicolon. So that is the first portion of this, what they call the Due Process Clause. If you go and read John Bingham, who was the representative from Ohio, who wrote that clause in this section, he clearly stated that that was the application of the individual privileges and immunities guaranteed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So I want to clarify this. This does not apply the entire Bill of Rights to the United States, or I should say to the states with the little u, as they were uniting or are united. What that means is there's these little things in the Bill of Rights that keeps the federal government from establishing a religion. At this point in time, many states were actually, they had established religions. I believe two of the original 13 or three of the original 13 still had established religions. And the state religion was literally administering the education and or the compassionate services necessary that the state felt it needed to do. So they were taking taxes from the people and giving it to religions. The federal government never once went after a state for establishing or maintaining an established religion because it was never applied to the states in the 14th Amendment or in the First Amendment. Another, and this is where I get to this this concept of the press and defining the press. The press is not an individual. In other words, in the 14th Amendment, they're protecting individual privileges and immunities, not organizational like religion and press. So in other words, that part of the First Amendment is not applied to the states. The states could actually start suppressing the press. They could start passing laws and saying, hey, you can't be defined as the press unless you meet these objective requirements. Now, they don't want to do that because the majority of the blue and progressive states have huge symbiosis and synergy with these mainstream media outlets who are basically propagating their propaganda to the public or promulgating, whatever you want to call it. But I'm telling you that states could actually start clarifying and creating. You know how China creates these social credits? I've actually entertained this before. That instead of having jury duty, the states could actually start having media duty. And what they do is they bring in citizens and they all basically do analysis. And all they do is weight based on the types of content that the channel is providing. Are they providing good, objective journalism? And in other words, is your local TV show, your local TV news, like ABC, CBS, NBC, or whoever is your local TV news that you're getting, are they providing you equal time in presenting both sides of the argument on gun control and the right to bear arms? Or are they giving you 80% time anti-gun and pro-gun control and not giving you any type of other information? In other words, they're not being objective. Well, if states started stepping up and saying, you know what, if you're not going to be objective, then we're going to start either fining you or charging you for broadcasting fees because you don't get away with just promoting propaganda with no consequences of that. We want to encourage the freedom of information, but we want to encourage a fair and balanced form of that. The states actually have these opportunities and privileges of doing these things because they are sovereign. So and that is why states can actually go down the path of creating socialized medicine if they want to, if the people actually amend their constitution to do these types of things. So all you need to do is amend your constitution in your state to say, we're going to define what the press does. I believe putting these types of pressures on the press will force them to go back towards objective journalism instead of becoming the propaganda pilferers that they've been doing and basically raping, our our future from us because they keep on promoting the communist agenda. There's got to be consequences to this. And so I hope this whole segment rant on the 14th Amendment helped clarify some of these problems. But getting to the point of the issue with Trump, Trump actually has the obligation as the chief executive who is obligated to faithfully execute the laws unless there is some unconstitutional redefinitions of the 14th Amendment, which there might be, but the court has no ability to define. That only makes rulings in a particular case. They cannot legislate, and they've been getting away with that. That's got to be stopped, and Trump needs to do that. Trump actually needs to start really tuning into this show and other really good constitutional shows as well. My good friend Doug Gibbs down in Southern California on KMET on Saturdays, I know that we both think a lot alike. And so there's others, but I just thought I'd plug him real quick. But anywho, I'm at a heartbreak, and so sorry for the rant, sorry for the sore throat, sorry for the lozenge. I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So I want to be clear here, because it's important, because I'm not necessarily a Trump basher, I'm not a never-Trump, I'm actually pro-Trump as long as he's supporting the Constitution. So I want to be clear, Trump is correct. And it seems like Trump is finally getting good constitutional advice. It would do him well to listen to this show and learn about Republic Review. If Trump really wants to drain the deep state, if Trump really wants to get rid of that corrupt Congress that's just down from him, and actually clean up the Supreme Court and reel them back into the framework of the Constitution, as well as Congress and well as the executive, if he really wants to make America great again, he would become a champion for Republic Review. He would be traveling out to Wyoming, the Dakotas, Utah, Idaho, all of these red states, and be demanding that the state legislators and demanding that the governors get in and start supporting and start appointing strong constitutional attorney generals so that we can start moving forward, marching forward to demanding the federal government into compliance. Remember that word, say it with me, compliance. That's what we need to demand. So He and we must challenge the court and Congress on their drifting away from this very specific distinction of the phrase, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. That is the key phrase in that clause. These illegals, these foreigners that are trespassing in our nation, are creating children that are no more valid citizens than the children that are being created throughout the world. I understand there's a human condition, and we would love to bring everybody and suckle them. I'm an advocate for open borders myself. I truly believe we don't have an immigration problem. We have an entitlement problem. The only people that are willing to come here are the people that are willing to work for the opportunity, learn the language, and assimilate. Those people who are coming here to become combatants and trying to undermine our system have no business being here, and we ought to reinstate the 1776 January 2nd Tory Act and start deporting all of these people, period. We have an obligation in maintaining the integrity of this Constitutional Republic as citizens. And I have that as one of my promos. I talk about our duty as citizens in supporting the Constitution. And the fact that we have drifted into this concept of anchor babies is an incredible subversion to our Constitution. I can easily get into, and I already see I'm in the second and third, so maybe tomorrow I'll get into the third and fourth section of the 14th Amendment, because these are pretty interesting. But I want to tell you that I truly believe subjugationists are wired, and they are wired differently. I have been telling you this for a long time. They do not understand liberty. They only understand force, and that the end justifies their means in getting you to comply. They know that if they can put fear into you, that you, most people, would rather live than die for their principles and their liberty. This is why, go watch Braveheart again. If you need to watch Braveheart, go watch Braveheart and the Struggle for Liberty. This is why they are fully engaged in warfare tactics, and in every aspect of their lives, they are trying to ram down their agenda down our throat using the mainstream media, and they're all working together with this big smiley face of going, it's okay, we're just giving you the alternate ideas. But they are literally forcing and breaking our Constitution, breaking our laws in doing this. And so I wanted to share this letter that Billy Graham shared. And the interesting thing is I got this out of a speaking book that I got from my father after he passed. You know, I went through all of his books and grabbed all the books that I thought was interesting. And this was a book written in 1962. And the backstory on this is this Presbyterian minister gave from Montreat, North Carolina, gave Billy Graham this this letter that he received that was sent to one of his parishioners who was the fiance of this young man who went down to Mexico. He was in a Eastern university and decided to travel down to Mexico. And I want you to understand this, because nobody ever talks about Mexico being communist. But I want you to understand what I'm going to tell you here. This guy was a student at an Eastern university, and he went to Mexico, and during that process, he went down there to learn and discover the true dedication of communist workers. In doing so, he became a communist in Mexico. Shortly afterward, he wrote his fiance a breaking off their engagement, and this is the letter that he sent her. And this, to me, proves that these guys are wired different. And this is what happens when all of a sudden you get this epiphany that they can use force and compelling and going down this path of the antithesis of liberty. And this is what he says, quote, "We communists have high casualty rate. We're the ones who get shot and hanged and lynched and tarred and feathered and jailed and slandered. We live in virtual poverty. We turn back to the party every penny we make above what is absolutely necessary to keep us alive. We communists don't have the time or money for the movies or concerts or T-bone steaks or decent homes and new cars. We've been described as fanatics. We are fanatics. Our lives are dominated by one great overshadowing factor, the struggle for world communism. We subordinate our petty personal selves to a great movement of what he calls, I'm editorializing here, what he calls humanity. So the personal selves into a great movement of humanity, and our personal lives seem hard. Our egos appear to suffer from subordination to the party, then we are adequately compensated by the thought that each of us in a small way is contributing something new and true for bettering for mankind. True and better for mankind is what he said. There is one thing in which I am dead earnest, and that is the communist cause. It is my life, my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my wife, and my mistress, my bread and meat. I work at it in the daytime and dream of it at night. It holds on me, grows, not lessens, as time goes on. Therefore, I cannot carry on a friendship, a love affair, or even conversation without relating to this force which both drives and guides my life. I evaluate people, books, ideas, and actions according to how they affect the communist cause and by their attitude toward it. I've already been in jail because of my ideas, and if necessary, I'm ready to go before a firing squad. Do you get that? These are zealots. These are people that have no compunction. They don't even worry. They're going to do what they believe is right, and that is to force you to be submitted, whether you like it or not, because they know you're not going to go willingly. The ends, my friends, justify the means. And Billy Graham's retort, or his following comment to this, to emphasize how this young man had converted into this ideology. And he basically says, do you have the same convictions? It's a call for action, or I forget what was the title of that Billy Graham said in his speech. Let me look it up real quick. A call to commitment. Are you that committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, that was the whole point of his speech and his delivery of that particular message. So I've been telling you that these folks don't get it. They don't understand why anybody should be free to choose. They don't understand why people should have liberty. And so, if you don't understand that, and next time you hear a Democrat, next time you hear a progressive say, well, we'll just have to agree to disagree, I am telling you that what they're doing is they are lying to you so that they can get away with the time it takes to figure out how to completely defeat you. The zealots are coming out. There's no doubt in my mind, as you start to see right before the election, Barbara Streisand starts spouting off, James Cromwell. Actually, they both have two different directions. Streisand says she's going to leave. I threaten I'm going to leave. Well, come on, leave already. You promised that 2 years ago. James Cromwell, and he's a hardcore activist and a huge Hollywood actor. He basically says there will be a civil war if the blue wave doesn't occur, there's going to be a civil war. He wants, and he is encouraging, civil war. And so the reason I am going to get into this third and fourth sections of the 14th Amendment is because there's actually in the Constitution teeth about going after people, states, and entities that are committing rebellion in the United States. So I figured I would give you that. And you'll want to tune in maybe tomorrow. Hopefully I'll have it tomorrow. I also wanted to cover, because when we come back, I'm going to play that short snippet or that short bit from John Berber. It's a 7 minutes. I wanted to do it actually so I could editorialize, but I'm going to end up having to play it and then editorialize afterwards, because 7 minutes and 40 seconds, I know I can all of a sudden start rambling and not be able to play it all in a segment. So when we come back, I'm actually going to, you know, start off with an introduction or the backstory on this little soundbite that I'm going to play, the 7 minute soundbite, this interview. And then I'll give you my two cents on this. But this all threads and this all ties together with how the subjugationists are trying to literally subvert our constitutional republic with anchor babies, with these concepts of citizenship, these concepts of communism and or this ideology. And I've been on this a long time, so this kind of weaves together pretty good, especially if you're familiar with it. I'll be right back.
It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So why do I take all of this time on a daily basis to try to present to you all of these different terrible things? This fraud by banking, this, you know, these bad interpretations of the Constitution, such as the 14th Amendment and how we're just giving away citizenship. I believe that it is far more important to you. I believe you as the listener would prefer to actually receive tangible education and motivation in going towards a absolute tangible constitutional solution such as Republic Review in fixing these problems once and for all. We don't need another Tea Party. What we need to do is we need to take back the Republican Party, and a presentation on this is coming soon. What we have to do is we have to literally start demanding that things start going per the contract. We need compliance. Remember that word and repeat it after me. Compliance. I believe these things are far more important to you than just being entertained. I believe that you enjoy education. I believe you enjoy learning about all of these travesties that have been occurring, the trillions of dollars that we've been ripped off by banking institutions. You need to learn this. You're not learning it anywhere else. Everybody else is just one, if it bleeds, it leads. And then they just really don't care how it lands because they're off to the next story. There is no solution behind it. The only reason I constantly bring these things up, talk to you about the 17th Amendment, talk to you about the 16th. We're going to talk about the Guarantee Clause, Article 4, Section 4 again, about returning back to Republican forms of government in the states. All of these things are integral. But let me get back to this backstory on John Burberry. Here is another instance of the leftist that attacked him. And I want you to hear the conversation because you can hear this man's tone, his tone change and start getting defensive and then offensive in going after him and literally intolerant. And I'm going, interesting. John is just trying to be a good, objective reporter and trying to draw this person out. Boy, he drew him out, and John ended up paying the consequences. So let's see if this is actually going to work, because I've never done this before, but we're going to try this live with me playing something while we've got the cue going. Here we go.
All right, and the other thing, I received an email, forwarded email to me yesterday, showing two paintings. Looks like they're actually painted on the wall of the high school that promote homosexuality. Were you aware that those were up?
I am not. Haven't seen those.
Haven't seen those? I thought this email went to the school board. Anyway, do you think that the Riverton High School should be promoting homosexuality?
When you look at, and I haven't seen those, John, when you look at tolerance and acceptance, those are things that we deal with within our student body. That's I think an important thing, that we understand that people are different and have a acknowledgement of that. Doesn't mean people always agree with that. But we do have to have a tolerance of those differences that people have. There are a lot of differences that students have in their belief, in their appearance, in their thoughts, and that's part of the process of developing those as I said, acknowledgments and understanding of what does exist within our students and within our society.
And you know, there are certain diverse elements of individuals that are certainly fine, but the homosexual lifestyle has been demonstrated to be very destructive medically, high disease rates in the homosexual population, very high suicide rates in the homosexual population. And do you think that's something that we should encourage in our high school kids?
As you know, we can't discriminate against those classes. That's a personal opinion that you have there, but we can't have a discrimination based on sexual orientation. That would be a violation of the civil rights. And
sexual orientation is not included in the Civil Rights Act. So it's not a violation. I just read that the other day. I guess my concern is for the kids, because this is a very destructive lifestyle. Have you known any homosexuals, Terry?
Absolutely.
So have I. And they have, all but one case, have come to very tragic ends. And the one case that didn't turned his back on the homosexual lifestyle and went back to his wife and kids. I'm very well acquainted with it. I knew homosexuals in the 70s before HIV was even discovered. And here's the thing. The lifestyle was glorified by the people that want to accept it and accept it as a viable alternative. But they ignore all of the bad aspects of it. They ignore the fact that I mentioned the rates of disease, sexually transmitted diseases, and other diseases, and the high suicide rate and the wreckage that it provides to families. These things are conveniently glossed over. And I'm concerned, particularly with the incident of sexual harassment between boys on the wrestling bus, and now this display of these paintings in the hallway of the high school, that maybe there's a cultural problem in our schools. I think the welfare of our children is a grave responsibility, and so not that these things can't be discussed. I think they should be discussed. There are certainly issues, but homosexuality is not a healthy lifestyle. It's not just a simple viable alternative. all of the facts rail against that idea.
John, well, you've portrayed our opinions. And I think maybe some dated opinions. Actually, I do know individuals that have a different sexual orientation, hardworking, quality of life. They don't all die because of AIDS, John.
Not now.
And that, and so to portray that is that I don't think that is an accurate description. When we look at what you talk about those issues, we also were taking the disciplinary actions on the individuals that are involved, and I think that is something that people understand, that we're not going to tolerate the behaviors that some kids have with that, and we're gonna be very firm on that. So I don't think that creates a culture. I don't think that just the actions of a small number of students creates a culture, John.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, that is what you said.
No, I said that is what you said.
No, you asked that question.
I said in combination with these paintings, I said I'm concerned that there might be a cultural problem. And you disagree.
Well, when we look at the need to provide a learning environment from all kids, we're not going to discriminate against kids because of religious belief, sexual orientation. Every kid has a right to an education. That's what we're going to provide, John.
I'm not saying that.
And for you to paint them that they are the evil of society, I don't believe that's fair.
Did I say that?
You came pretty close to it, John.
But I didn't say that.
Well, John, when you look at inferential meaning that you create, we all know that comprehension in language comes from the words that we say.
You know, Terry, this is, I don't think we're furthering discussion here. If you believe, as I do, and all the scientific evidence points to the fact that the homosexual lifestyle is destructive to individuals, to families, and to society, otherwise, why does our moral code, the Bible, forbid that? I'm not saying that they shouldn't receive an equal education. I'm not saying that they shouldn't even be allowed to paint what they're painting. My concern is that it's displayed on the halls of the school. You know, I could be in an art class, which would be a joke, frankly, and not want anything that I painted would be worthy of display on the halls of the school. Anyway, I'll give you the last word, and then let's move on to the school board meeting.
It's our responsibility to educate all kids, regardless of their beliefs and regardless of their positions, and that's what we're going to continue to do. I know people have differences in thought and differences in belief, but yet that's what we have to do. We can't use our personal beliefs about individuals to determine what education they're going to get, and so that's how we're going to continue on.
And basically, that education that they're standing upon is an education that has a narrative that is one way. They do not have objective education. I've been saying this for years. Have you ever heard the term academia is free, or academia needs to be free? It needs to remain free. Academia died with the Scopes trial. Back in the 1920s, when they basically, it was called the Monkey Trial, back when they passed and the Supreme Court ruled that this is what will be taught in the education system. That was the beginning of the National Secular Church and the establishment of such a secular church in demanding a very specific curriculum and taking away objective discussions. They were 50 years ahead of the discovery of DNA and that epiphany that we actually probably aren't evolving from apes. And so I get more into that later. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic. I hope you've learned something and enjoyed today's show. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.